Turn in your Bibles today to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 24, a verse that you're familiar with, but preach it in a way that is different than I've preached it before. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. Certainly, some of us have had friends in our lives that have stuck closer to us than our own blood relatives, our own brothers. And I think when Solomon wrote this, certainly had that in mind. But then once we came to know Jesus Christ, we realized there's no one that'll stick closer to us than him. And he is certainly the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But you know something? The first part of that verse says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. All right, so if Jesus Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, then you and I have the responsibility to be that friend that shows himself friendly. And now, not in the context of how do you make friends here in the earth. We certainly know if you want to have friends in the earth, you got to make friends. I remember years ago, I had a fellow that I knew, and he said, you know, but the problem is I don't have any friends. And I said, you know what the problem is? You don't attempt to make any friends. Hard to have friends when you sit here like a dry sponge waiting for water. They're not coming your way. So what we want to talk about this morning is how to show ourselves friendly to the Lord, who has shown himself to be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful today to be here. And we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. We love the Bible. We love you. And we love what you have to say to us in the words of God. I'm asking you, please, really help us today with this sermon. So many people have, in their minds, tried to forget some things of the past and set resolutions about the future. I can't think of a better way for us to start this year than to think about ways this year that we can show ourselves friendly to you, even more so than we have because of that great friendship that you have demonstrated to us and given us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask you to help us today in preaching this sermon, Father, to really, really be able to expound the text to your glory and to our benefit for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he that hath friends must show himself friendly. So, my question is, how do we show ourselves friendly to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's really what we want to examine today. How do we do that? Our verse is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You show yourself friendly to the Lord, first of all, by becoming the Lord's friend. He said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In other words, if a person wants to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing that he should do, or if he wants to say, I am the Lord's friend, and the Lord is a friend of mine, then I want to make myself friendly toward him. I want to become the Lord's friend. This is our text. We will talk about this text some more, but look at John chapter 15 and verse 13. Keep your Bible open because we'll see a few verses that demonstrate this friendship today. And in John chapter 15 and verse 13, notice what the Bible says about Jesus, what Jesus Christ did. And Jesus is the one speaking. And in John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, it is a remarkable thing to consider this. Not all of us that are sitting here today were friendly toward the Lord as we were growing up. And we look back on our lives before we came to know the Lord and we realize that we were anything but friends. And yet here is the unique thing about the Lord Jesus Christ in that he showed himself friendly to us. There was a time when he was eating, and he did it more than once, but there's a time where the Bible comments on this, he was eating with publicans and with sinners. And when he did that, the Pharisees were upset with him because they would not be seen with that crowd. If they had known somebody had been an adulterer or had been an adulteress, they would separate themselves from that person and never have anything to do with them. And yet when Jesus Christ was eating in a Pharisee's home one day, an adulteress, a woman who really had a reputation for it, had come to worship him and had anointed his feet and cried on his feet and wiped the tears with her hair and had kissed his feet. And the Pharisee was scorning her and even scorning Jesus Christ for letting that happen. So he was known for being approached by and approachable by people that Pharisees wouldn't have anything to do with. And the thing about the Lord Jesus Christ that is unique is he calls people friends that other people wouldn't call friends. The Bible says this about him. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, watch it, a friend of publicans and sinners. He didn't say Republicans. He said publicans. A friend of publicans and sinners. I want to tell you something today. I am so thankful that Jesus Christ is a friend to sinners. If it hadn't been so, many of us that are here today could not have been saved. You know, the Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May I tell you something? I don't know the condition of your soul. I'm looking around here and I know that most of the people that are here today, the great majority of the people that are here today, are already Christians. You are saved and you know it. And please understand something. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a Christian because you were baptized. You're not a Christian because you were born into a family of religious people who consider themselves Christians. I've talked to people before who were raised, for instance, in the Lutheran church, and they'll say, I'm a Christian. I'll say, why is that? Well, I'm a member of the Lutheran church. I've always been a Christian. I was baptized as a child. And that's not a Christian. That's a good person, and the world calls that person a Christian, but the Bible shows us that a Christian is a person who has received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. A Christian is a person who has turned from his own righteousness and received Jesus Christ and become saved. I was raised Catholic, and I always considered myself a Christian. When I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I realized that I needed to receive what Jesus Christ had done for me, his death, his burial, his resurrection. I needed to receive what he had done for me. He demonstrated his friendship toward me. He demonstrated his friendship toward us in that while we were sinners, he did something that only a friend would do for a friend. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and we weren't his friends when he did that. But he showed himself friendly. And the way that we can show ourselves friendly is that we can stop and say, if he were willing to do that for me, the least that I could do is become his friend by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Today I'm wearing a tie, and I've had a lot of compliments on this tie. I can't wait to call the person who gave this to me and tell them. My mother gave me this tie. Bobby said, it's iridescent. I said, no, it's not. It's a Hilfiger. I didn't know iridescent made ties. anyway, you know why I wore this tie today? I wore this tie today when I opened my closet. I said, okay, I'm going to wear that suit, and I'm going to wear that shirt, and I'm going to wear that tie. I did that as an honor to the person who gave this to me. I mean, I'm thinking about my mother when I'm putting it on, and when I'm receiving compliments, I'm thinking about my mother. I'm telling you, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're thinking about what he did for you. You are appreciating the fact that he is the one who came to save your soul. So you want to, hey, do you want to show yourself friendly? Then become a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. I'll tell you something else. You become friendly. It's also, we're in John chapter 15 right now. You also show yourself friendly by believing the Lord and doing what he said. Look in John chapter 15 in the next two verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, you are my friends, if What is the word if? It's a condition. You're going to meet a condition. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. He's addressing his disciples. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. How did Jesus Christ make known unto them the things that he had learned from his Father? In words. How do we know what those words are? They're recorded for us in the Bible. Well, you say, how do you know that I would show myself a friend of God if I would believe what he said and do what he said? How do you know that? Well, for one thing, he said it. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He said you would be. You see, today in here in the church, if I were to walk around and say, tell me who your friends are. And you say, well, the people I go to church with. Okay, you don't even know some of the people you go to church with. So I understand that when you say, these are my friends, we are like-minded, we like being together, but you couldn't even call them by name. So I say to you, no, I understand that, but let me ask you, who are your friends? You say, well, my friend is John. And you tell me about John. And my friend is Mary. And you tell me about a neighborhood friend that you have named Mary and so forth and so on. And pretty soon, you know, you've run through about five or six people. And I said, of those who are your really close friends, you're two or three people. Really friends. Really good friends. It's not the 1,000 people that are liking you on Facebook. They call themselves friends, but I'm not talking about that kind of. I'm talking about real friends. Okay? And you know what? Those real friends, you say, those are my friends. Jesus said, you want to be my friend? Then do whatsoever I command you. You say, how do you know that'll work? Well, turn with me to James chapter 2, where you say, where's that? It's right near the end of your Bible. Book of Revelation is the last book. Go left a little bit and you find these short epistles, James, Peter, and John. And we want James chapter 2. I'll show you how you know this. Before we started studying the covenants, we studied a book in the New Testament called Paul's Letter to the Romans. Paul's Letter to the Romans. And in Paul's letter to the Romans, we were reading about, in Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 primarily, we were reading about a man named Abraham. And Abraham is the man that God chose and started the nation of Israel. And Paul said the faith that Abraham had in what God said is typical of the faith we have in what God said. There was a time when Abraham and his wife Sarah were really old. He was 99 and she was 90 before they conceived. And the Lord said to Abraham, he said, you see those stars up there? Your seed will be as the multitude of those stars. And you know what? The Bible says Abraham believed God. When the baby was born, his name was Isaac. And when he was a teenager, God said, I want you now to sacrifice that boy to me, that only son of yours. I want you to sacrifice him to me. And Abraham was willing to do that. But you know something? God had said, your seed will be as the multitude of those stars. If you kill the boy, how is that going to be true? Abraham, listen, Abraham did not even question God. He didn't even, you know, Mary questioned the angel when the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a son. She said, how shall that be, seeing I know not a man? And the Lord said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And she goes, okay, that's cool. So she believed him. She just wanted to know how, why. When God said, your seed will be as the multitude of those stars, and now the seed has been born and he's a teenager, and the Lord says, I want you to kill him and sacrifice him to me. You know something? Abraham didn't say, so how are you going to fulfill the promise that I believed? He just went about to do it. Why? Because he believed God. You know what he knew? He knew this. He knew that if that boy were to die in that sacrifice, God would have to raise him in order to bring that promise to fulfillment. And later on in John chapter 8, Abraham said to the Pharisees, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it. You know what he saw? Hebrews chapter 11 says, he saw in a figure the resurrection of Isaac and knew that the promise God had made was so real, he could, listen, do what God said in spite of the fact that it seemed to be contrary to the promise and know that God would work it out. You get that? That's believing God and doing what he said. James chapter 2, look at verse 23. James chapter 2 and look at verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called what? The friend of God. You want to show yourself friendly? Believe what he said and do it. Abraham did, and he's our father in the faith. And so listen, Jesus said, you want to be my friend? You'll be my friends if you do what I said. I tell you honestly, folks, the thing that goes wrong in Christianity, listen, we're not perfect people. You know what goes wrong in Christianity? It involves people. And we're not perfect people. And we're not going to be perfect people, I mean, in the sense of never sinning again until we have our glorified bodies. We all understand that, but in the meantime, we don't need to keep excusing things that ought to change in our lives. And so what I'm saying is the great problem with Christians is this. You have a Bible, but you don't know what it says. And how can you do what it says when you don't know what it says? When people come and they say, we're having a problem with this, you always open the Bible and say, well, there it is right there. You could do the same thing. If you're a friend of God's, that's what you would do. Open the Bible, see what it says, and do it. So when you think about, hey, how in the world can I start 2017 off right? Well, if you're not saved, get saved. Become a friend of Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, read the Bible this year and start doing what it says. And you'll be showing yourself friendly toward a man that said, if you'll do it, I'll be your friend and you'll be mine. But that's not all. You're in James, right? Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, ye adulterers, verse 4, James 4, 4, you adulterers and adulteresses. That's not a very complimentary thing right there, by the way. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to show yourself friendly to God? I'll show you how to do it. Quit befriending the world. Now listen, I didn't say quit trying to be an influence on some of your friends who are in the world that aren't saved yet. Not talking about that at all. Those kinds of relationships that you have with people that you have begun to build, that you might have met through your work or you might have met through your business or that you might have met in your neighborhood, whatever, it's good to have a certain kind of friendship with them where you can have an influence on them for good concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. But if your friendships with folks like that have a tendency to pull you further away from the Lord and more into the world, those are the ones that you want to sever. So let's say that I'm standing here and this is neutral and that's the world and its pull on me and that's God and that's His pull on me. What I want to do in 2017 is I want to move over. I want to get a little closer to God, right? Can't do that if I am influenced by the things of the world that keep pulling me this way. And so he said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. One of the greatest things that you can do to draw yourself closer to the Lord is to cut ties with things that draw you closer to the world. He said, what are the kind of things that draw you closer to the world? Things that stimulate your appetite for the things that are in the world. You know, it's an amazing thing. Just want to mention this to you. Think about all the things that get put into your mind, all the things that get put into your heart from information that you read. News, radio, television, movies, internet, Google searches, all that other kind of stuff. All that stuff is input. All right? And then the Word is input. Now, for the most part, for most people, the input of the world from all those sources, radio, television, internet, newspapers, magazines, all that would fill the baptistry. And the input from the Bible by comparison would fill a Dixie cup. a mouthwash cup, the little ones. I'm talking about by comparison. So it stands to reason that all of those influences would have a tug on you and try to pull you toward the world. And he says friendship with the world is enmity with God. You know, wouldn't it be something to stand before God and said, he says to you, let's see how much of a friend you were to me when you were alive. And he shows you all the time spent with him and all the time spent with the world. And you're like, wow, I didn't know that I was spending that so much time. So it's very important for us to realize, you know what I want to do? I want to increase my ties to God and decrease my ties to the world. And you know what that'll do? That is going to draw me closer to the Lord, and it's going to make us to be better friends. Better friends. You show yourself friendly by becoming a friend, by believing what the Lord said and doing it, by not befriending the world. And here's another one. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse 11. We're talking about being a friend of Jesus, showing ourselves friendly to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 11. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Who is the king? In the context of our sermon today, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. When he was crucified, it said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. When he was born, the wise men said, where is he that is born? King of the Jews. The king is Jesus. When he returns, he is going to come, and on his vesture is going to be written, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our king. All right. The verse says, for the grace of his lips, the king, that's Jesus, shall be his friend. You want to show yourself friendly to the Lord? How do you do that? He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Now, how do those two things tie together? For the pureness of his heart, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. How do those tie together? Well, it's very simple. The Lord Jesus Christ said when he was on the earth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right, so if your heart is dirty, dirt's going to come out of your mouth. If your heart is hypocritical, hypocrisy's going to come out of your mouth. If your heart is bitter, bitterness is going to come out of your mouth. You know, somebody said, how does that root of bitterness spread out like that and defile many? It comes out of here, comes through your mouth, comes through the spirit that's in the words that come out of your mouth, and it has that defiling influence. So you know what the Lord says? I like, the king loves gracious lips. How do you make them? Pureness of heart. That's how that happens. When the heart changes, then there's grace in the lips, and the king, Jesus, says he's showing himself friendly to me, and I'm friend with this person. You see, when the Bible gets in you, it is supposed to, among other things, purify your heart. What happens to a lot of people, the Bible gets in their head. Have you ever met somebody like that? They know a lot of Bible, but it doesn't change their heart. You know what that's called? Knowledge puffeth up. How do you like, do you like being around puffy people? People that are puffed up? Not easy to be around, right? They're always talking about themselves. It's kind of like an author. One time she was at a social function, had to do with a book signing thing, and so they had the reception afterwards, and for 2 hours she was talking to an individual that had come, and for 2 hours this author talked about herself. And she said, finally, after all that time, she says, you know, I've talked entirely too long about myself. We really should talk about you. How do you like my book? You know what that is? That's puffed up. Okay? And boy, it's hard to be around that. Knowledge puffeth up. There are a lot of people that have studied the Bible and it got into the head. God wants us to study it and get it into our hearts. Because what happens when the Bible gets into our hearts change. There's a purifying effect. All right, let me show you. Think back to when you got saved and just think for a moment what your life was like before that and think about where you are today and what your life is like today. And may I ask you something? Is it cleaned up a little bit? It really has, hadn't it? It may not be where you want it to be, but it's surely not where it was. And you can certainly reflect on the kind of person that you were, and you know that that stuff still is kind of like stamped into your flesh, but at the same time, you look at your life, and you know the change. I'll tell you what changed that. It wasn't just a desire on your part to be a different person. Something about God's words got inside of you and began to change your heart. And when your heart changes, your mouth changes. Listen, anyone can repeat the latest news. If you watch the news, if you look at what's going on, you can go and, you know, and sound very well informed by the things that you can talk about. You know who won the playoff semifinals yesterday. You know what the scores are. You can probably tell you who some of the players are. You know what happened in Turkey last night. At a New Year's celebration, you know what happened in New York or didn't happen in New York last night. You know, we can all get out and start talking about the news. Anybody can repeat that. But I'm going to tell you, very few people can speak from a pure heart words that impress the King. And that's what we really want to concentrate on this year, is not impressing each other with how knowledgeable we are about these things, but hey, how friendly we have become with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the pureness of heart that has resulted from that time that we've been spending in the Word of God and doing what it says and separating ourselves from the world. But then look, there's another one. Turn to the Song of Solomon. So you're in Proverbs. Song of Solomon is next after Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon chapter 5. Show yourself friendly. How? How can I show myself friendly to the Lord? By first becoming the Lord's friend. By then believing what He said and doing it. By not befriending the world. By letting the Word of God change my heart so the words that come out of my mouth are words that delight the King. And then this, Song of Solomon chapter 5. Now, what's the Song of Solomon? Song of Solomon is this, Solomon and his bride. You know, of course, he had a lot of wives, but this is just Solomon and a bride, the Song of Solomon. And there is a conversation going on between them in their love relationship. That's what the Song of Solomon is. And the picture is this. Solomon pictures Jesus Christ, and the bride pictures the church. It pictures us. And so this passage of Scripture here, the Song of Solomon, this book, describes a very close relationship between Jesus Christ and the church, or Jesus Christ and a saved person. It's a love relationship that's very, very close. And the question comes up in Song of Solomon chapter 5 by other of the ladies in verse 9. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 9. Here's the question. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? So they're asking this question, what's so great about him? What is it about him that you love so much? Why is he so different than anybody else that you could love? And here's what she says in verse 10, reading to the end of the chapter. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You wanna show yourself friendly to the Lord? Do you see this description here? The thing that's interesting about this description is she's describing a man, but she's also describing something that sounds like a city. Pillars and marble and gold and Lebanon and ivory and all this stuff. You know why that is? Because that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ is, on the one hand, the head of the body. And we who are saved have been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. So He is a body. He is a man with eyes and ears and hands and feet. And when we get saved, we become a member of that body, and we are feet and hands and eyes and mouth and nose on that body. But at the same time, He is chief cornerstone. And a chief cornerstone is a building block. It's the chief stone. And the Bible tells us when we get saved, we become members of a building that is being built called the Holy Temple of God. And so there is both this man and this building. And when you read this description, you're reading a description of somebody who is describing a man and a building. You know what you're seeing here? You are seeing a prophetic relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. Now let me tell you something. This description that she gives of her chiefest among 10,000 is very detailed. She knows what his head is like, what his locks are like. She knows what his eyes are like down to the very color. She knows what his lips are like. She knows what his hands are like. She knows what his legs are like. She knows what his belly is like. She knows what his mouth is like. You know what this is? This is an intimate acquaintance. This is somebody who has been very close with this person and knows many very specific details about him. I want to ask you something. What do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? See, we're not waiting until we get to heaven to find out all these things about Him. Many of the things that the Lord wants us to know about Himself are revealed to us in the Word of God. So you say, well, then what's the point here? How can I show myself friendly to the Lord Jesus Christ? By loving Him with all your heart. This woman loved her husband. She said, my beloved. This is my beloved. This is my friend. You know, I realize that sometimes in Christianity we go through the motions. And it is great and necessary to pray. And even when you don't feel like praying, it's great and necessary to do it, even if you have to read the names off the list. And you know, it's great to read the Bible, and it's great to read the Bible and really get something out of it and know the Spirit of God is there speaking to you directly as you read the words of God. But I'll tell you something, sometimes we just read the Bible because it's the right thing to do. So I realize some of what we do that are good for us, really there's not much emotion associated with it. It's good to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, but honestly there are some days when you say, you know what, I don't care whether we live in the United States of America. I mean, they know, so if they don't find out and they wind up in hell, so be it. I got something else to do. You say, well, I would never admit that. Yeah, but that's just how it is. There are some days that you don't care. And even on days when you don't care, it's still good to hand somebody a tract. Do you understand? There are a lot of things that we end up doing in Christianity that just kind of become routine. Oh, Sunday we need to go to church. What we don't want, listen, what we don't want is we don't want to become mechanical. We don't want to become mechanical in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a man. We are part of Him, and we ought to get to know Him intimately, like she got to know Solomon. Let me tell you some things about my Lord. Listen, when you talk to somebody, we say this, you know Jesus? Oh, 95% of the people that live in the United States say, I know Him. They don't know Him, they know about Him. That'd be like me asking you, you know Michael Jordan? Yeah, you might even be able to tell me some stats and other things, but you don't know him. Not unless you've met him and spent time with him and spoken your heart with him and heard his heart spoken to you. Otherwise, you just know about him. He's famous. Jesus Christ is famous. Many people know about him. But what do you know in your relationship with Jesus Christ? You say, well, he's my friend. He's my beloved. Then get to know him well. Love him with all your heart. All your heart. Listen, when you become so consumed with him as this passage of Scripture here, then you get to know things that he reveals to you about himself that he just doesn't tell other people who don't want to know. Do you understand? There are things my wife can tell you about me because she knows me that well. There are things that my wife knows about me that she could tell you that she's not going to tell you because she knows me that well. You see what that's intimacy. And truly, there are things about the Lord Jesus Christ that are way beyond what we already know and should include much more than we've known. You say, when I think about what I'm going to do this year, I'll tell you what to do. Get saved. And become the Lord's friend if you're not saved already. I like to read books on audio because I'm going to be in the vehicle at least an hour every day. And that's an hour that I can listen to biographies and history and other things like that. And I was listening to a book again for the second time and I paid attention to the end of it. These were men in this book that fought in World War II. And so they were young men. They were just kids, 17, 18, 19 years old, when they got put into the task that they got put into, some of them were in their young 20s and they were in major leadership roles over other young men whose lives depended upon the right leadership. They were just tough. They experienced a lot of life, all right? When they went through, they did a lot of bad things. You know, they did a lot of cussing. They did a lot of drinking. Some of them did a lot of womanizing. They killed people. And it was really, really a tough way for people still being molded to spend their lives. Some of the guys came out and they just left the war behind them. They got jobs. Some of them became famous. Some of them became entrepreneurs. Some of them became teachers. All kinds of things. And they went on. They got married. They had children. And that part of their life was just gone. But some of them couldn't leave it. And they kept reliving the experiences. One fellow that did that, his last name was Sisk. What he would do is he just kept playing it over in his mind again and again and again. What happened? And he became a bad drunk, a bad alcoholic. He was staying at his sister's house. And his sister had their mother's bed in one of the rooms. That's the room where he stayed in. So he's in his mother's feather bed. And he's hungover. He's trying to recover from a bad night from the night before, and his four-year-old niece comes into the room, his sister's daughter, and she jumps up on the bed with him and she says, "Uncle, do you know something? If you would trust Jesus Christ and repent, he would forgive you for those men that you killed. And he would forgive you." Listen to how she put this. 4 years old. "And he will forgive you for the men you keep trying to kill every night that you get drunk. And he will forgive you for drinking. And he will help you get a new life." He ran her out of the room. "Go see your mother." As soon as she shut the door, he crawled out of bed and knelt on his knees. And he said, "Dear God, I need you to forgive me for all the horrible things that I've done, all the men that I killed, and all the men I keep trying to kill, and all this whiskey that I've drunk." And you know what? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ saved his soul. And that man got married, he had children, he went into the ministry, and he started preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he became a friend of the man that showed himself friendly. And from then on, he showed himself friendly by telling others what Jesus had done for him. You know, that'd be a great way for you to start 2017. Just let it go, repent, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I'm already saved. I know most of us in here are. Then you know what? Why don't you be like Abraham and start believing everything God said and trusting Him when He takes you into areas that don't seem to make sense, just going by what His Word said that you should do. Sever your ties with something in the world that keeps drawing you away from the Lord and dedicate yourself fully to your friendship with the Lord. Let His words purify your heart and thereby purify your tongue, and spend some more time with Him so that by this time next year, you'll know Him much better then than you do today. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the opportunity to open the Bible and study the words of God. I pray that Your words have been a great encouragement to our folks that are gathered here. It's surely been an encouragement to me. Lord, I want to be known among our people here that I'm a friend of Jesus. I want to be known by folks that don't know You that I'm a friend of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want them to know that because there's no friend in the world like You. You are the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank You, Father, at the times when we haven't been good as Your children, how You've stayed close with us. You said You'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm thankful for that today, Father. I'm thankful for these folks that love You and love Your words. I pray, Father, that each one of us can take what we've heard in the message today and draw closer to You and become better friends to You. Not let anybody stand in the way between You and us by any means, causing us to turn our back on You for a period of time just so that we won't know that You and I, that You and us, that You and we are friends. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I don't know. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ and you need to be saved, you know what? You can receive Him today. Our associate pastor, Randy Knuppel, is standing in the back. And I'm going to ask you if you want to be saved. I just want you to just admit it. Just raise your hand and say, you know what, preacher, I do. I need to be saved. Randy will gladly take you back to his office, show you the gospel so you're absolutely sure you understand how to be saved. You'll leave here a friend of Jesus Christ and He a friend of you. Is there anybody here today that say, preacher, with your up hand, just say, preacher, I need to be saved. I know it and I want to be saved today. Anybody like that? Anybody, just shake your hand. Wave your hand. Stand up. Scream. No, just raise your hand. If you're thinking about it and you're not sure, I'm available after this service today. We can talk about it a little bit more. We don't want you to leave here without understanding this at least. If you're here today and you're saved, you know God's given us some real good words from His Bible today. The best thing for us to do now is to do what we've been told to do from the Scripture, and I pray that we will. Father, thank You for this time of invitation. May as we sing and be dismissed, may our hearts really, really draw close to You. And if there's anyone here today, Father, who's in their heart is still wrestling with this idea of salvation, just not sure what to do with it, I pray they'll stick around and visit with us shortly so that they can understand more about You. We ask You to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.